Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Marie.
That beautiful voice over there is Christine Marie. I'm Julie. I'm her.
Who are you?
I'm your daughter.
Yeah, you are.
And we're here at Life with
You're
the Girlfriends.
You're my darling daughter.
With Christine Marie and Julie. For whatever reason, you can't just find us with Life with the Girlfriends.
That's not right.
How do we
change that?
I don't know. I don't know how
I don't like
it.
That because I know there's no other Life with the Girlfriends.
I mean, it's, exactly. They couldn't. Why would they want to be compared to us? Nobody wants to be compared to us. Not you, Life with the Girlfriends. The other Life,
the
with,
other
the
Life with the Girlfriends. So, Julie, did you watch Roseanne this weekend?
No,
this
I week? Protested.
I did, too.
I intentionally
well,
did not.
I actually watched about 2 minutes worth, and then I was confirmed in my mind that I did not want to watch it. And yeah. I think all of it was brought on by this interview that I heard on Joe Rogan's podcast. He interviewed Roseanne.
Yes. And it was funny because I was very interested in seeing the Conners for a split second.
I was too.
Oh, it's going to be on.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I heard the whole hoopla about what tweet she did, and it was a political tweet, and it became a racist tweet and all this stuff. And I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard Wanda Sykes saying, I want to be off the show and all this stuff. All of those angry tweets that happened after someone.
It was a whole shitstorm of tweets.
Yeah. And so after it happened, I'm like, you know.
And then it all happened and then it went to bed.
Well, I also didn't give it too much of a thought about because I'm like, you know what? She's fine. She's in Hawaii on her macadamia lot and growing macadamias, you know.
Julie, you can't grow people anymore.
There's not a country called macadamia, and they're macadamians. Are you sure about that?
But I think she probably has more money than our lottery tonight.
I hope yes. And so if we would win, that would be great.
We would win $600 million, but I think Roseanne has, I think, estimated $700 million.
Oh, I thought it was just $70 million.
Roseanne?
That's what I heard. I thought that was low, too.
Oh.
I'm thinking her money's making money,
oh.
You know.
Oh.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I'm like, I don't
know, but
that.
Maybe we're somewhere in the middle. But
yeah.
But anyway, so I listened. I think we both listened. Did you listen with me or did I listen?
I listened to it by myself once because I was driving.
And I listened
and then I said,
to
hey,
it. Norm.
You've got it. And I listened to only about 20 minutes of it. And then I said, you've got to hear this podcast. And then you listened to it, I think, with me.
Yeah.
And then with Norm, heard it himself.
Yeah.
And your opinion changed, right?
My opinion totally changed. I mean, she's not somebody that I think about a lot, you know, but, and so when she did this tweet thing, I felt, well, and when it was at the height of all
the rage, like, oh my gosh, Roseanne's doing so great.
You know,
the Me Too rage, and everything. Trump being more crazy than ever.
It was just at the height of everything,
yeah.
Right? And so, and then I felt bad because the big thing out of it was there's 100 people in that production company and they
yes.
all lost their jobs and
right.
how dare she do that. But then we listened to her.
Yeah.
And Joe asked her some really thoughtful, insightful, pointful questions.
Yeah. And she didn't back down from
not,
any of it.
Not anything. And at one point, you know, I like the fact that, because I've heard other people talk about their stuff, and there's always this edge that they never take responsibility in
right.
the sense. And she said, look, I gave them the gun. They pulled the trigger.
Right.
But I gave them the gun.
Yeah.
And so, and she was right. She talked about being on Ambien.
Yeah.
And Joe talked about a lot of his friends who have been on Ambien and had alcohol, specifically beer, which
right.
is what she had. And how that really messes you up.
Right.
And she talked about what the tweet really meant to her.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she was, you know, unlike some people who actually tell women that they're ugly or that they're horse faces and things like that. She actually said that she was not referring to a woman's looks because she said, look, me above all people, why would I do that?
Right.
I am not the most attractive,
right.
you know,
I don't
bottle
do
of
that.
Beer
yeah.
and a six pack, right?
Right.
So, and this podcast was about 2 hours and something, you know, and she chain smoked continuously during it.
And it was interesting because I kept hearing cans open. And I'm wondering, I don't usually hear that in a Joe Rogan podcast. And so I intentionally went to the YouTube link to see her do the interview. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, she's drinking Coca-Cola. I mean, flat out, pure sugar Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. which
and
is fascinating.
Nicotine.
Smoking. She's smoking, doing Coke.
Yeah.
The real Coke.
the Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And she also mentions that she had
gastric bypass surgery.
Yes, which you're not supposed to drink carbonated beverages after that.
Right.
Because it messes with your stomach.
Yeah.
And she also says that she has issues with absorbing nutrients because of that as well.
Right.
So she's letting us behind the curtain, and we've seen
really
her life.
She really did let us in behind the curtain. And it really, really did transform my opinion,
right,
which is all I have. You know, I'm like Fox, breaking opinions.
Yeah, breaking opinions coming right now. And I think their new tagline is opinions that count.
Yeah, exactly. The opinions that count. And we said, you know, opinions. Thumbs up, thumbs down,
big pile of poo. Everybody's got them. Not me, about you.
Right. That's our song, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah. That's our country and western song.
Yeah.
And it turned into a jazz song.
Yeah, now it turned into a jazz hand song. Yeah. But so I'm there with, you know, I guess they said 35% down from the normal rate, you know. Mm-hmm. And my opinion is it probably go down even further.
I love how they just killed her off by her doing an overdose.
An opioid overdose.
You know, she was in pain.
And she said on the Joe Rogan interview that, you know, she said that that's what she felt that they really wished she would do.
Oh, interesting, that they wish she would overdose.
Yeah.
And it was also interesting because she said she has spent years developing these characters.
Right.
And seeing them fast forward, what they would look like.
Right.
And it's her show. And it was her show. It was called Roseanne.
Yeah.
And she was the wick, the catalyst to everything.
Yes.
What I found interesting is that she also admits in this podcast, which was like 2.5 hours long.
Yes.
Her and Joe are friends.
Yes.
I wouldn't call them the hangout stuff, but
he
really likes her.
He loves her.
He likes her comedy.
Loves her.
He says that she's the best comedian.
He thinks,
you know,
that she's brilliant.
Yeah, he thinks she's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing her talk, and she says, you know, listen, during this time, I was also doing some stand-up in Canada where they were really good, and I was really exhausted. Mm-hmm. I would spend most of my day in my room, and then I pop out and say my lines and then go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure she didn't come across as a team player.
Right.
Or like she was having a good time.
Right.
And it was just 9 episodes.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like a whole season.
Right.
She's in her 60s, and
she's 65,
not.
65, I think.
Yeah, she's 66. Not a Kris Jenner 65.
No, 66.
She's an, you know,
she says, look, I'm an old woman.
Yeah, she admits to it.
Yeah.
Still had lots of great work done, though, because she looked,
if you check her out on YouTube, she looks good.
Now, I have to admit that seeing things through my small phone, you know, things are filtered out a little bit. Things are softened. Mm-hmm. I don't see the details, but she's good. Mm-hmm. She's pretty. And so I got what she was saying, mm-hmm. that she gave them the gun, but they pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they also knew what they were getting.
Mm-hmm.
She had been doing tweets forever.
Mm-hmm.
But they had asked her, not in writing, not to do any more tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, I like to speak my mind. And I know.
And she also admits, too, that I think what really got me as a psychotherapist, and I had never heard this about her, but when she was a young teenager, she was hit by a car.
Yes.
And actually had brain damage, and at the top of the engine, what do they call those
things?
Well,
they said that the hood ornament.
Ornament went into her brain.
It went into her brain.
And so she was in the hospital for many, many months, and then when she got out, she said that her whole life was different. She was an A student in math, and she had no whip of how to do math at all. And she became very
impulsive.
That was the right word, impulsive. Yeah. And she said that she would, they found her walking in the middle of the highway, or she would walk down the middle of the streets. And she would be saying that she would be telling herself, I need to do this because I need not to be afraid of being hit by a car anymore.
Yes. So and the best way to do that is to walk down the middle of the street.
That in her mind.
In her mind.
And so she ended up at 15 or 16, 9 months in a mental institution.
9 months. Back then.
Back then.
I mean, that's hardcore.
In a mental institution.
Because if you saw that, I mean, if you've seen any movies about women being put in mental institutions, they keep you, first off.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you're put in because you're just acting a little bit too...
uppity.
Yeah, attitudinal. Free thinker. You know.
How dare
you're
you?
You're questioning the world.
Yeah.
How dare you, young lady, question the world?
Yeah. How dare you question the patriarchy?
Yeah. And so...
Don't pull back the curtain.
Don't look behind. Don't look too closely at things. Mm. And unfortunately... Dr. Oz.
But unfortunately, she does do that, though.
Yes.
But anyway, during those nine months, too, I mean, she was medicated wildly on a lot of different things to try and find. And, you know, who knows what, you know, and she talks about in the interview some of the weird and wild and, you know, abusive things that happen in these state hospitals and stuff like that. But you really get a really good insight. You know, she comes out and, I mean, she has a diagnosed mental illness.
Yeah.
And that she still does.
She says
and
she's bipolar, whatever that means
to her. Yeah. And I think at some point she was considered schizophrenic even, I believe. I'm not really sure.
No. But, or she was afraid to be called schizophrenic. So she made sure that when she had, when you see things, they're not
there. Right,
what
yeah.
What is that called? I can't think of the name. Yeah. But that she didn't want to tell anybody because she knew what that meant. And at that time, that meant electrical shocks.
Yes, that's right.
And she
that's
did right. not want that.
She could see what happened to people that had electroshocks.
And she said, you know, she would, she also said that some of her tweets mentions the word ape in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that growing up in Utah,
right,
which is a very patriarchal town or
Hello.
A nation, basically a nation of its own, probably. I mean,
probably.
It probably feels like that.
Yeah.
Even though she's Jewish, I don't know if she was. I don't know.
And she's highly Jewish. That's another thing I didn't really know
about
her.
I mean, she's highly Jewish, supports Israel, but not in but also supports the women of Iran. Like she sees the Middle East as her clan,
mm-hmm.
and most of the women of the Middle East, and how she needs to help them
mm-hmm.
because they're being they're being pushed down, suppressed,
yeah.
and
yeah.
so forth.
Right.
And so, but she says, growing up, we used to, you know, it was not uncommon for wives to call their husband apes.
Right.
So I don't think of the word ape as a racial statement.
She also said that she considers, and she also thinks that Planet of the Apes is like the, you know,
the best political movie best she's political ever seen, and it's her favorite movie of all time.
Right. Yes, of everything, and
it represents
and
so much
to
her.
And it's and it was honestly, when you know, listen, in an era right now where our bullshit detectors are really high,
yeah.
and you know, like for example, you know, they're saying that we were just supposed to detain Khashoggi, but we read on the tweet, dismember.
Yeah.
You know, is that bullshit? You know, so there's so much bullshit going on. I did believe her.
Right.
And I think because I also believe Joe.
Yes.
Joe has proved to me over many, 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 you know, months and podcasts, and he's a straight shooter.
He tells his story. He tries to be as honest as he can and looks up information. If he's not right, he tries to correct it.
And also, too, if he's in an interview and he smells bullshit,
he calls it out.
He wants you to go deeper, you
right.
know?
Right. Like, where are you coming up with this thought pattern?
Yeah, yeah.
And is it correct? Because the older I get, the more I don't think there are blacks and whites in this world. Everything is gray.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I said it is kind of funny. You know, I, at every situation out there, I see so many different aspects of it.
I know you do.
That it almost is painful for me.
It's painful to watch.
Yeah. And I just go, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, yeah. And I believe in my heart that everybody,
yeah.
There's a few a-holes in the world.
Right.
And they really don't care about the world. They want to hurt. They get off on hurting people.
Right. There's a few a-holes in the world that will take advantage of you being able to see gray.
Right. Exactly. But for the most part, 95,
92%. Que sera, sera.
All they want is to get home safe, enjoy their friends and family, mm-hmm. pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And they would like to do it without as much conflict as possible.
I know.
So I have trained myself to see everybody through the lens of, you're not trying to cause me harm.
Mm-hmm.
You may still cause me harm.
But you're just trying to get home.
You're trying to get home.
Yeah.
Or, you might have just gotten off a call of somebody and you're just a little crabby. You're not an a-hole because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the a-holes that really want to F things up.
Mm-hmm.
You try not getting those hemispheres.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes you are, but you try not to.
Right.
But, yeah, I would not be a good person in a jury because I would go, yeah, I see your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I see your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You're both valid. Mm-hmm. Both valid points of views. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's right and wrong
mm-hmm.
in this situation.
Right.
Because I believe that we all do our best in the situation mm-hmm. at hand. All we know is what's going down at that moment. And with Roseanne, she says at that moment she was thinking about Iran.
Well, here's where she said.
Yeah.
She was visiting her mom.
Mm.
So she wasn't in her own home.
Nope.
And she was in her mom's basement.
Right.
And it's not even finished, but it's where she used
was
to
she
stay.
Was she there yet? Yeah, she was there, right? You're right.
At the mom's basement.
Yeah.
And it's where she used to stay when she was at home, when she was a kid. And she said that she was on her bed and drinking some beer, taking an Ambien to try and get some sleep. But she said the paparazzi were around the house, and she was feeling a little,
right.
Her mom was feeling a little threatened, and that she was kind of having a bit of flashbacks because she was seeing writings on the walls that she had done when she was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, you feel about that. You know, you think you got to, you're going home, and you're like, whatever.
Right.
And she woke up from this dream, and she felt that, that she had this major epiphany about
Iran,
and it became a metaphor or something.
Yes.
And that's how the tweet was.
And then she said she was going to add to it later on. She felt
yes, but also she said there were different versions of the tweet that were different than what she had written.
Yes,
that somehow people had changed it.
I don't know if they changed it. But through repeating the tweet over and over again, like a telephone game,
mm-hmm.
it would be reported elsewhere. Like, well, that's not what I said.
Right.
You're not quoting the tweet right.
Right. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden it was getting tweaked and tweaked and tweaked to something that was very, you know, it comes across as offensive.
Right.
And it's just weird.
Yeah.
Because I felt so bad. And Joe Rogan made a point. He goes, we don't expect someone who... Our little puppy's having a running nightmare right now. Aww, he's running
in his dream.
Okay. I love that. Or he's stressing out, one or the other.
No,
but
he's okay.
Anyway, Joe Rogan made a good point. He goes, you don't expect someone who has a knee injury to run a marathon.
Right.
So why do we expect someone who has a mental illness to perform great 24/7?
Right.
And that's the problem. We are all fallible people. We all make mistakes.
Yes.
And we all say things that we put our foot in our mouth, and it's an accident. It's an effing accident.
Right.
Now, I don't tweet because of that, because I would think, that's just so me. I would say, but sometimes I go to our past podcast and I go, what did I say? That was pretty funny, but I hope it doesn't offend anybody. I'm like, screw it. I can't. Somebody's going
to
take.
You can't get through life if you have to remember everything.
Well, I have to tell you, two things happened the last week that shocked me, and I didn't explore it any further, and I should. So this is just my experience with this, and it was Bill Maher. And he was there. I don't know who was on the panel. Three, you mm-hmm. know, and they were, one was Republican, but probably moderate, mm-hmm. and two liberals, mm-hmm. I think. And Joe had brought,
you mean Bill?
Bill had brought up this thought that, I think it was, remember the astronaut that went up into space?
Neil Armstrong?
No.
John Glenn?
No. This is a current one.
Oh.
His wife got shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I believe he's the one that tweeted
it. Yes, yes.
And he tweeted something about Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
And I guess it was met with a flurry of, how dare you quote him? He's a horrible person. Mm-hmm. Winston Churchill. And I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I'm not saying he's 100% good, but he did some things good, yeah, you know, or whatever.
And he got just blasted. Yes.
And he had to apologize, saying, I don't, you know, I'm sorry.
And Bill read the apology.
Yes.
And here's this man went to the moon, and he's been through hell with his wife who
into the moon.
Sorry, I thought you said he went on the moon.
No, I went to space.
Sorry,
he went to International Space Station. Okay, yeah, because honey, just to let you know, that moon landing totally fake.
Fake news.
Yeah, nobody went to the moon. Trust me. Okay, nobody went to the moon. Because they did. Unless they did go to the moon, and they really have like lots of buildings up there, and they're all partying hardy up there.
Well, supposedly there's like, you know, many layers to the moon, many levels.
Very, very, very many.
I think
layers.
Her name was Gifford.
I think so.
Or Giffers or something like that.
You're right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and she was shot in the head.
Yeah.
And you know, and she survived, and he's, you know, been by her side and that. But the apology sounded so sad and unempowered.
And I guess I don't really know the whole story.
And it was like, and you know, when I saw that as well, it's like a snapshot of what is just like this pressure cooker right now.
And I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Because like, our fear of saying anything is causing some people to act out in weird ways.
And you know, this is what Joe Rogan said. You know, listen, you haters on the internet, come and do that in real life.
Yeah.
Come and say that to that man in real life.
Right.
You know, then we'll see.
Right.
You know, if you really want to go be hating, then do it and let's have a real conversation.
Right.
See where it really gets you.
See where it really goes.
See, this is like, to me, it's like drive-by shootings. Mm-hmm. You're just cowards.
Yeah. And I also feel it's like, oh, you think you found someone who's a victimizer. And I'm going to be the victim of hearing it, and now I'm going to victimize you.
Yes.
And therefore, I will get off on it.
Yes.
I will be the one that's righteous in its own and so forth.
Yeah.
And so...
That's not the whole part.
That's not where I'm done yet.
Yeah, okay.
So in this same topic...
Right.
I think one of the panelists talked about Lincoln.
Right.
And mentioned that, you know, he really wasn't that great of a guy either. He didn't want the slaves to be freed either. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I know.
And this guy was a professor.
Yes. I want to first see where he comes up with that.
Mm-hmm. He was the professor on Gilligan's Island, though.
Yes. I'm not saying, okay, here's Lincoln. Okay. Back in the 1860s. Right? Mm-hmm. Sending him correct on that mm-hmm. time frame. Mm-hmm. I should know a little bit about more, but that's when it was going down. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he had a lot of things going on, but from what I've read about him and what I've heard him say.
Lincoln?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, in his quotes and what mm-hmm. I've read, mm-hmm. he really was for the rights of all men. Mm-hmm. Now, I put him back at that time. And I'm sure he had this higher vision, but I'm also sure he's like, I got a war going on. I got a civil war going on. Mm-hmm. I got men dying like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are moments that he didn't want any of this to be going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish he, you know, like, can we all get along? Can we, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said in private, but I'm curious where that man got all this evidence that he didn't want to see or that wasn't the main focus. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I go, oh my God. You know, I'm not saying Lincoln was a perfect man. I'm sure he wasn't because he was mm-hmm. still a man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, I've not met one perfect man in my life. You know, if I am going to stereotype, I'm going to stereotype all men in one degree. You know, you guys cause all the wars.
It's like, you're just gross.
And then you mm-hmm. fight all the wars. And then you want to grab, you know, kitty cats. Mm-hmm. You know, and so forth. So then I can see why some people get crazy. Thinking that, oh my God, the world is topsy-turvy.
Yes. Topsy-turvy, inside out. Really, even Roseanne said, I sometimes thought when I was a child that I'm an alien. And I still think I'm an alien.
Her and Elon Musk.
And then she did. She happened to say, you know, that Abraham Lincoln, really the reason he had to wear the stovepipe hat.
Because when he took it off, he was like from Saturday Night Live, the Coneheads. Yeah. Hello. Brilliant. But do you see a pattern here? You know, do not go on the Joe Rogan show because you will lose your business. And because Elon Musk, soon after the interview,
is like,
sorry, you're no longer head of Tesla.
Yeah.
You're like out of there.
Yeah. Oh, the thing I read today, Tesla, a little bit more expensive than we thought. The new Tesla.
A little more expensive
than we thought.
But still a really cool car. Yeah. Come on, you want it, don't you?
You know what's interesting is I you did not see this. Surprisingly, I saw something without you. But I watched the town hall on CNN with Beto O'Rourke, who's the senator.
The bison?
Beto the bison, right.
Okay.
Going up against Senator Ted Cruz in the midterm elections. Beto's a Democrat. Cruz is a Republican. And as they said a million times, Senator Cruz was invited but turned it down. But here's the thing I just want to say, just real quickly. Mm-hmm. I was so refreshed after hearing this guy speak for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I had a sense of refreshment.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a great word. Something that I don't feel anymore. You just forget.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what I remembered good about the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I remember talking to a friend, this was a couple of years back, who said, you know, was a Republican, but like the old timey Republican, said, I don't even know the face of my party anymore.
Right.
It doesn't look like what I felt. And this is kind of what I was feeling about the Democrats, you know? And then I heard Beto, and oh my God, it was just like I said, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was just refreshing. It was like all about the vision for our country. It was about, yeah, let's work together. Let's do this so that, you know, like he made this one point about being able to get at least 2 years of education for free, whether it be junior college,
right,
or first years of college, or a certificate,
right,
of something that will give you a living wage.
Right.
And he talked about, like, teachers in Texas have to have two or three jobs to have a living wage.
Especially in Oklahoma, too.
Yeah. I forgot my point, darn it. But he said that this tax cut that the Republicans gave themselves, or the top 1%, it took it from 35% to 21%. And he said, I'm not against the tax cut. He said, but if we could just bring it up to 25%. He said, everybody could go to school for 2 years for free.
Hello.
We could do that.
Yeah.
And then he talked about Medicare for all, you know, and what that would look like.
Yeah.
And how that would happen. And that in a country like ours that we don't have, that the people that are, you know, wanting to, it was just this vision for the future.
Right.
And making sure that we all had health care.
Right.
So that we could, like he kept saying, so that we could just go ahead and do what we wanted to do.
Right.
And help the country, raise our kids, have families, have grandkids, and just have this right.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God. And I heard that he's not going to win. I mean, that's what the polls are saying.
Yeah.
And it was so sad for me. And somebody asked him, are you going to run for president? And he goes, oh, no. He goes, if I do win, he said, I'm going to just dedicate, my wife and I talked about it because we got three kids. We're just going to do our 6 years and we're going to do the best we can and take this great state to where, you know, and I'll do the best I can do and all this. And I was like, oh my God, I had visions of like what it was like, what I remembered my party being like, you know?
Because there's still that bad taste in your mouth of when you found out the Democrats were suppressing Bernie, from just competing. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if, I mean, I, in some ways, I wasn't really for Bernie. I didn't think.
I kind of didn't understand him.
But to know that literally, I had a hard
time understanding him.
I would have liked to have seen him. Literally.
I really used to have a hard time.
Well, we've been talking about that lately. Yeah. How, for whatever reason,
yeah,
we're not hearing people.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing them, and I can understand the words you're kind of saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if I'm not in the same frequency anymore
with
them.
I think
them,
that's what it is.
But I have had people, I've had to say, you know, I'm sorry, and or fake it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
And then if and I'm faking it, I know other people are faking it, and mm-hmm. that's why I'm still amazed that the plant still runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I really am.
Yeah.
I'm also amazed that I'm not afraid to go out into our car when I think about all these people on Ambien. I mean,
yeah.
If they don't know what they're doing, they could just literally hop into their car and yeah. drive, and it's like,
well,
what?
Like Joe Rogan said, he one of his friends was, and he woke up on a plane or in Germany.
Handcuffs. Yeah, in Germany.
In Germany in handcuffs, and they were questioning him, and he's like, what? And they go, did you have anything? And he went, oh, I had an Ambien. And they go, oh.
An Ambien and a beer, I'm sure.
And they go, oh that's well, it. Okay, then they took his handcuffs off and said, okay, just try and get this out, walk this off.
And in no country, in a world where you only need about a few percentage of people to have, you know, a million people be on Ambien, and if they take it inappropriately, they're really messing things up. Same thing with pot. You know, I'm all for legalizing pot because, hey, alcohol is legalized, and you know, people mess up with alcohol all the time.
Is that the reason?
That's the reason. I believe that we can't be. I see the hypocritical point of keeping marijuana separate and illegal when you can buy, you know, hardcore alcohol and get all messed up and drive. And, you know, it's illegal, but people still do it. Mm-hmm. I was reading the paper just the other day, this guy who's had 12 DUIs. 12! Since 1988. Okay, well, it's, you know, what, one every other year. You know, that's fine. Whatever. We forget. But 12, who has 12? I will go my whole lifetime without having one DUI.
And I think the research shows that if you have one DUI, you've driven at least 200 times.
Yes.
Drunk.
Yes.
So you think 12 DUIs, that's like 30,000.
Yeah. You just know, drive episodes. Drunk. You have no problem.
And this particular guy, I don't know who the name or anything, but that he ran into something. And what's so interesting is that he had a passenger, and he made the passenger crawl over him and pretend he was driving. That must have been fun.
Oh, yeah. You're like, you got to pretend for
that,
me.
We kind of always thought about that when we were, like, in teenage years.
Yeah.
We go, well, just, you know, if your parents were saying, I can't get in an accident. Well, then if you do, then
we'll switch.
Yeah.
Really? That's happened before. I know.
I know.
Believe it or not, I believe one of your brothers told me that. One time.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, if something happens, you know, just switch with me. I'm like, all right. You know I'm 15, right? I don't legally have a license. That's fine, because you'll be okay. I'm like, okay.
You're a minor.
Yeah, you're a minor. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right. I'm down. I'm like, please don't let anything happen. Please don't let anything happen. Please don't let anything happen. You know, this is before we're forced to wear seatbelts, too. So it was just free-flowing. Who knows? Thank God we all survived.
I can remember, like, this. I can remember that somehow Norm was in jail in Chicago. He had gotten arrested for something, you know, nothing major, you know, but
I don't remember this.
Well, this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so I got word that I had to go bail him out.
Okay.
And so we all drove, me, you, and Gregory, and drove into the city.
Uh-huh.
And I am a horrible driver, and the city was like stressed me out, so I made this big drink and like does Big Gulp still have Big Gulps?
Yeah,
I
but they're
had
no
a
longer
big,
32 ounces; they're like 52.
Oh, this was probably like a 40. I don't know,
32 ounces.
Yeah,
the big
but
gulp.
I made a big drink.
Yeah,
and it was bourbon and I think like
Coke or something.
7-Up,
something like that.
So I was like, okay, so I'm fortified.
Yeah,
and you
got your
the
tranquilizer
map.
With
yeah.
you.
So I think Gregory was in the front seat with me. You know, so I'm driving to get to, you know, somehow the police station, and the sun is like really in my eyes, and I think I either blew a stop sign or something, and a cop pulled me over on the way to the police station. So I'm holding this big drink in my hand.
Okay.
And so I go to Gregory, who's like, I don't know, how old would he have been?
Four or five.
Yeah, not too. I think he might have been in I don't know.
Was he in diapers? Please don't
say no. No, please. He wasn't. He actually looked like a human being next to me. So I said, here, hold this cup. Because it looked like a plastic kid's cup, right? You know? I go, hold this cup. And I go, and drink it while the policeman's talking to me so he doesn't think that you're just holding my drink.
Right.
Actually drink it.
Right.
So during this whole time while I'm getting my license and I'm telling the policeman, like, the sun was in my eyes. I couldn't see.
I don't know what happened.
He goes, you're from Bolingbrook. What are you doing in Chicago? Well, my husband's in jail. And I don't know why. I got to go get him out, you know.
Oh, God. And Greg's just, like a sorry sign.
Greg's just sitting next to me just drinking this drink. And afterwards, when we got let go, he's like, Mama, I'm just like, I'm tired, Mama. Yeah. Go sleep. So, but those were the 70s.
And I'm trying to think, 80s. Why would Dad would have gotten arrested? Probably being overweight or something.
Yeah. people are so nitpicky.
The weight police. You're tipping the scale at 200, sir. Give you arrested. No,
for the semi. It had to be something with trucking.
Yeah, who knows?
Because, you know what it was, too, I think? Because the police came to us, to our house in Bolingbrook, to the apartment in Bolingbrook. No, he was actually in the Bolingbrook jail that time.
Okay.
These were all related to trucking.
Why?
I'm sure, right?
How often was Dad in jail? That's nuts.
I don't know.
Jeez Louise.
I don't know how long he was in jail.
See, that kind of guy? I'm saying here.
Men.
Men. I mean, I think back. I mean, in Bolingbrook, Gregory would have been 3 or 4. Because I left in kindergarten. I would have been 5. And that was our last time.
Oh, my God.
Kindergarten. I was in kindergarten in the other town, in Wooddale.
Yeah.
So he would have been 3.
It might have been Itasca then.
Oh, could have been.
It could have been Itasca.
Okay, so that would have been 5. I was
he'd
be 4.
Yeah, he might have been 5 years old, something like that.
4 or 5.
Yeah,
at the late.
And he was
drinking
booze.
Yeah,
and now he's still drinking booze.
Yeah, he's a problem.
He's a problem every time.
Every time he comes into a sippy clap, he's just like, I just can't take it.
I gotta have drink.
He now pours his booze in sippy cups. That's how he keeps it going. Exactly. You know, you always told me.
Now, how did I get to that story? What did I always tell you?
Well, you said if your parents are drinkers, either you'll turn out to be a drinker or you'll turn out not to be a drinker. And I thought, no shit, Sherlock. That's a 50-50 chance.
Well, there's just no middle line.
No.
No,
I don't think there is a middle line for drinking. Either you enjoy it or you really don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I got one of those. If I did a DNA test, 23andMe, I don't know what it's called. If there's a gene for this girl's going to get down and party, I would not have that gene.
You do not have that gene.
No, but if there's a chocolate chip cookie gene, it'd be checked and then highlighted and circled. Like, that girl loves her cookies. She loves her cookies. Yeah, son of the bitches.
Luckily, I probably gave you all those genes.
Yeah, but I think I'm at like day 70 right now.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. Day 70 without
sugar. Yeah.
And it's interesting. Now, just to let everybody know, I mean, I do make my own peanut butter squares, you know, where it's that butter, peanut butter, a little bit of stevia, and that 86%, a little bit of piece of chocolate, you know, because that's very low in sugar.
Well, I've had a bite of that, and I can't even take one chew.
No, it's good, right?
It's rich.
Rich, very
but
rich.
But it's chalky.
Yeah. Well, and so it took this long to train my taste buds, because I had a bite of just the chocolate, which I think is almost inedible. And I had a bite. I'm going, oh, this is actually quite good.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I need to have the peanut butter and butter on top.
Yeah, you do. Probably wouldn't.
I mean, I did because otherwise the chocolate bar, I think, is just not edible. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I think I've retrained my taste buds for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So raise the roof, I'm high, flying high. I'll get that one thing checked off my bucket list for this year, which is go 100 days without 100 having
days.
It.
Wow.
All in a row, by the way. You know, because I had been doing here and there and so forth like that. So that felt good.
Yeah.
So I had an interesting experience this week. We had listened to Dan Savage. But before that, I was running into Walgreens. I had gotten a coupon where $10 off. You spend $25 or more.
I know, we were so excited.
I had a little bit of a list.
Yeah.
So I'm in Walgreens, and Greg and I love to play this game. Whereas this is what I got.
Greg, your brother.
Yeah, Greg, my brother.
It's called the Walgreens game.
Yes, because so many times, Walgreens, you go in and you get the oddest stuff.
Yeah. And you don't know why. No. That, for whatever reason, it's like the odd store.
Yeah. And you want to guess, like, what's going on tonight for that person.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you go, okay, they're not doing well. They got Imodium, baby wipes, and, you know, condoms. You're like, what kind of party's going on here? This is not right. Or it's more like Imodium, baby wipes, and, you know.
Or like laxative, licorice, and a rectal thermometer.
You're like, what's going on here? You know, what's going on here? Or you'll get.
And a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, and a crossword puzzle. Like, okay. And so I think what mine was,
and then
was Flonase. Masks, like
winter masks.
Winter masks, cold masks.
Yeah, cold air masks.
Yes, that, and brain focus.
Yeah.
Like,
focus factor.
Focus factor.
Yeah.
Focus factor.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with that woman? You know, just all these weird stuff.
You have to guess the thing.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of thing's going on that night?
Yeah.
And because if you buy food there, you're usually buying just one can of frosting.
Yeah.
You know, and then a pen. Like, why are you getting a pen? You know, and then
to check off the fact that you fucked that list and you now are having frosting.
I'm just forgoing the cake and just going right to the frosting.
That's right.
That's the best part anyway. Come on. So, yeah. And then a lot of times you can get like Burt Bees foot cream. That's one thing. I've done that.
Yes.
And I've
and I've also made you buy chapstick.
Chapstick.
So
yes.
So foot cream and
chapstick.
Lip cream.
Yes. And then usually it wouldn't be odd for me to buy like a little bottle of booze, which you can get at some Walgreens.
Yes. Yes. You always,
I don't know if you can get that still.
I don't know either, but you used to always go, and I got a, you'd go in for me and then you come back out. I got a little present for you, mama.
Yes. And make you smart.
Little baby bottle of booze.
Yeah. Just for you. Yeah. Keep it in your purse.
Yeah.
Things go bad. You can always have some
of that. The apocalypse. We're all going to be like, here, look what I got, people.
Lots of bottles of Maker's Mark. Because I'm not spending $35 for a fifth of booze, okay? We're Seagram 7s around here, people, not Maker's Mark. Or whatever the price is. I'm just making a shit up. I have no idea.
I know you're not. I know you don't. You have no idea.
I have no idea. I'm pulling this out of my butt. For sure. That's what I got from Walgreens.
That's what you got from Walgreens.
So I'm in line. And this guy in front, I'm in front, and I notice that he's buying.
He's a good looking man. You told me
a good looking older man, probably in his 60s, and but
well dressed,
nice jeans. It looked real nice,
yeah,
attractive, great hair. I'm like, I have no problem doing that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not hashtag me too. I don't want to, you know, sexualize you or objectify you.
Right.
Sorry, sir.
And
apologize.
But the thought police just came in and had to eradicate that thought.
Yes, and I have been arrested. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
no longer. But I did notice that he had one thing he was buying, just one thing. And it was literally the largest package of adult diapers I have ever seen. I don't know, must have been 100 in them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a nice,
large
package
yeah.
of adult diapers.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, interesting.
Interesting.
It could be for him,
mm-hmm.
his wife, I don't know what for.
Don't know.
But he's holding them quite proudly,
yeah.
which I find very interesting.
Was that the only thing?
For. So which means to me, he wasn't trying to hide it.
No.
Like, I'm going to go into Walgreens with a cart.
Yeah.
And throw in the cart.
Yeah.
And then buy other things.
Or like buy four little bags
yes.
of adult diapers.
Right.
Did the checkout guy go, would you like a bag for that?
Yes, he exactly did ask that.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, cool, that's nice.
And did he say?
He said, no, that's okay, to save yourself a bag. I'm like, all right.
Whoa.
So this guy is going out with,
the biggest, largest sack of adult diapers ever.
Tucked under his arm.
Yeah.
Walking out proudly.
Proudly. Good looking man.
Good looking man. heading out to his car.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't need it. Don't waste a bag. I got this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
his car was
talking at me.
Corvette.
I think he even turned his head and winked at me. I'm like, oh, hey, you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is interesting. I'm like, cool. And I didn't think much of it, except then I heard Dan Savage. And on this episode, he had a woman was calling up and she was saying something that I had never heard before and I was confused. And she talked about being, and Dan Savage is like a sex Dear Abby kind of show.
He's a Dear Abby sex man.
Yes. And he, she,
if you're, woman, if you're having a relationship quandary, are you worried about sexual harmony? There is nothing you can't ask on the Savage Love Cast.
Yeah, that's exactly
who he is.
Congratulations. Good job on
Thank
that.
You.
So I'm hearing him talk, and this woman's asking a question, and I'm, and a lot of times I have a hard time understanding the question.
We so again, we're still.
I'm thinking, I must not be in alignment with anybody anymore.
We're not in, the same frequency.
You are speaking
American, English, yeah.
You have no accent.
No accent. And yet we cannot understand.
I can't understand you. And a lot of times you're going, what is she saying?
I don't know. And you're like, I don't know.
Like, shh, mom, quiet. That's what I usually say to you.
Yeah.
You said, I'm trying to hear.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth now. That's what I usually say to you.
Yeah,
right?
I know. It's true.
Okay. What'd she say, Julie? Shut up, woman.
Change my diaper.
Change my diaper now. Stop talking. I can't hear her when you talk. Or I'll give you that dirty glance. No. Look over my, what? No. So anyway, and she's talking and she says, you know, I'm kind of interested in this one kink I have. And she's talking very quietly. And I'm like, you're on a phone. I mean, you're not live.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're talking alone in a room.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, I can't let anybody hear me.
She goes, but it's getting out of control.
And
I'm taking it to work.
And I'm like, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
And I will go into my little at work. And I'm like, what the hell is she talking about, little?
Yeah.
And then finally, she asks the question, like, is it getting too far out of control?
What do I do
about
it?
What do I do about it?
Because I can't control it anymore, she
said. No, and I want to explore this part about me.
Yeah, so because I'll be at work, and I'll be doing, and I'm at work.
I'll be filing.
I'm fine, I'm doing things, and all of a sudden, I drop into my little.
Yeah.
And I just go, well, are you sure you have the proper forms?
Yeah.
Or do you think that, I don't know, you know?
And like, I don't know where the forms are. I'm so sorry. I don't know where the forms are. Or does she get into the, like, oh, sweetie, you're so okay. You're okay. Does she get to the mother?
No.
She's a little.
She's a little. She enjoys being a little.
Or does she say, cuckoo, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know how they talk.
I don't either.
But she says she drops into the little.
Yeah. She drops into a little.
And so Dan brought in a expert.
A little expert.
A little expert.
Who, by the way, is a expert only in the sense that she has or does littles.
Yes.
She's not a little.
She said she can go both ways.
She did?
Yeah.
I thought she was.
She can be a little, but she also is a nurturer.
That's what she
She's
was,
a mommy.
She's the mommy or the dad.
But she has no problem being. She doesn't mind being a little either once in a while, but I think she's a nurturer.
That's what I got mostly, that she was the nurturer.
And so,
but she understood littles.
She understood littles. And it always starts off like this, which I think is a major BS. It always starts off like, well, you know, these men, they're so powerful in their businesses and jobs that when they come home, they've got to be a little boy because they've been so used to being so powerful at work that they need to be nurtured at home.
They're
BS.
It's so they're so powerful in their high-powered jobs.
They're high-powered jobs.
And they're so stressful. And there's no relief for their front lobe.
No.
And the only thing they can do.
Did you just say no relief for their front lobe? Is that what we're calling it now?
That's what I said.
That's what we're calling it now, the front lobe.
No relief.
How's your front lobe doing? I don't have any relief for it. I need somebody to relieve my front lobe. Please relieve my front lobe.
And so she said, when they come home and they take off their business suit, their long tie that has to cover their junk.
Yeah.
And they go to the sofa and they put on a giant diaper with a giant diaper pin.
But first they had their KFC.
No. Yeah.
Why? Because that's what one of those powerful men that has a long red tie, oh, he likes that.
He has to do that.
That was another joke.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I just like, I didn't get that one.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I'm sorry.
And so you sit in front of the TV and you have your little, either, you know, bottle of warm milk or Maker's Mark drink in a bottle.
Right.
And that's all you want to do. And then you have to call mommy in
to
nurture you.
To nurture you because you're having a bad day. Everybody, no one understands you. And maybe you're an actual little like toddler or baby. You know, I guess you are a baby. You're having a pacifier.
Well, she did say, though, there's various dimensions to littles. Some want to be babies. Some prefer to be toddlers.
Yes.
And here's as a mom.
Yes, as a mom.
The only thing I can think of, especially, you know, when you're talking about, you know, your friend at the Walgreens and stuff. To me, I think it's, as a mom, not like mom of toddlers anymore, but as a mom, as I remember, to me, if there's somebody in the house with a diaper, you're just a heartbeat away of having an accident. There's just going to be some place, sometime, somebody's going to poo their pants.
And you have to change your diaper.
And you have to
change my diaper.
Change my diaper.
Change my diaper.
Change my diaper.
Well, it's funny because so they had this expert on, and all I think of when I think of men or women who want to be littles and they want to be
in diapers
and maybe want to breastfeed. I just think of like this woman holding an adult person suckling, you know, your breast. And you're like, this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's not sexual.
That's part of it. And when you sign the consent form, you have to say this is not sexual.
Right. This is not a sexual relationship whatsoever.
Getting my frontal lobe soothed.
Thank you. And so the woman talked about it, and I was floored. First of all, that's called little.
Yeah.
Because.
Can you imagine if you were a little furry?
Yeah. Yeah. I have been called a little furry down there. and take a razor to that thing. A little furry. Yes. Or can you imagine, you know, calling yourself a little person at one point?
Yeah.
And now that doesn't mean that anymore.
Right.
They have, the littles have subjugated that term.
They own that.
They
now
own that term.
You can't be called a little person. You got to be called a midget.
Wow. True either. I don't know that. No, I think
because otherwise you offend the littles.
I don't know. The terms are changing so fast. I have no idea. This is why I don't call anybody anything. Hey, person.
Remember McDonald's?
I did. I said.
He said, "Thank you, sir, for my coffee." And he said,
"Today I feel like a woman.
Today I'm a woman.
I am
no sir. I am a miss today.
I'm a miss today." He did put the word, excuse me, she did put the phrase today.
Today.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ta-da.
Yeah.
I go, you don't know me. I'm pretty progressive.
Yeah.
And you just try to school me. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you, Mr. Mrs.
Mr. Mrs.? I'm like, you trying to school me? You don't know my life. You don't know how progressive
Change my
I
diaper.
Am. Change my diaper. You don't know what. You don't know my kinks.
Well, that's our phrase now about this. Tell them about the Family Guy.
Yes, but first, I now think, though, hearing that diaper story on Dan Savage, just literally within 24 hours of seeing this man be very proud and content of carrying the diapers for adults.
Right.
I'm like, is he a little?
Could he be a little?
But is it? So here's the thing, though. Is there an increase in diaper consumption for adults because the little group is expanding, or is it because they're incontinent?
I have to tell you something, okay?
Yes.
I have been exploring this little bit on Amazon and eBay.
Okay.
So let me just tell you, and you could come and draw your own conclusions.
You got 1 minute to draw a conclusion for me, just let you know.
So if you go to adult diapers on eBay,
okay,
they have it. You're at Amazon. You can buy an adult diapers, and actually large ones.
Okay.
Not just like the kind that you don't want to be seen. You can buy adult diapers. And they go, people who bought this also bought, and they'll have giant pacifiers.
Yeah.
They'll have giant safety pins.
Yeah. Oh.
So what I'm thinking is that there is a market out there, and it's not just for incontinence. No. Although as a mom,
yeah.
I'm saying if you are in a diaper too long, accidents will happen.
Also, if you're putting on a diaper, I'm thinking in your mind, the benefit is I don't have to get up to go to the bathroom. I am wearing a diaper, for heaven's sakes. Yes, I am wearing it because I'm a little, but also, hey, there's got to be some perks to it.
That's right.
I'm going to go to the bathroom in my diaper. Yeah. That's the whole
I'm
point.
I'm also kind of like, don't feel like getting up right now.
Yeah. But see, adult diapers, I think, are for accidents, not full-blown, full bladder. But I'm not sure of that.
I'm not sure, girlfriend.
You know.
I mean,
are they, quote-unquote, ready for astronauts, those diapers?
Yeah.
Because, you know, those, I think astronauts, when they go up to the space station, they have to wear diapers, I think. I don't know either.
I think they might have to wear a tube down their pants.
There you go. There you go.
I'm serious. It's down their leg. Mm, okay. And then there's
they're catheterized?
And then there's just a tube. Uh-huh. And then goes down their leg, and by their ankle, there's a great big bag.
I don't know if I think being an astronaut is as cool as it once was.
Yeah. And when, if you fly around,
yeah,
that's the hard part.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, any last thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Was the show great?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.